You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press is reporting, according to two people with firsthand knowledge of the situation, that Van Gundy's job is safe. Stan Van Gundy will be back next season as the Pistons' president and head coach, which I think was pretty obvious to most people. I don't think many expected a change. There may be a few more who wanted a change. I'm not in that camp. I am all for bringing Stan Van Gundy back. Did he do a lousy job this year? Yeah. Yeah. He did not have this team prepared enough. This roster wasn't strong enough. But I think he can learn from that. I don't think always firing somebody for doing something wrong is the answer. Who are the Pistons going to get who's better? Who's the better team president or GM they're going to hire? Who's the better coach they're going to hire? And keep in mind, there'd be costs with that. And I'm not talking about Van Gundy's contract and paying that out. I don't care. If Tom Gores wants to pay it, doesn't want to pay it, you know, that's his money. I'm not trying to protect that. But the cost is this roster was built by Van Gundy. These are Van Gundy players. And so the new guy will want time to get his group in. Players he's comfortable with. Players he seeks out. And that would take time. That would take years. I'm nowhere near convinced that Van Gundy is the wrong guy, let alone convinced enough where you'd make that big of a radical change. And I think this is why Van Gundy fought for front office power. It insulates him. He had one down year as a coach. That gets coaches fired all the time, except for when you're your own boss. Stan Van Gundy's boss is Stan Van Gundy. Van Gundy's obviously not going to fire himself, and that protects him. Sure, Tom Gores can fire him, but he's the only person who can. It's a layer of protection where Van Gundy's not going to pay the immediate cost for this down season in a way a lot of coaches would. How many times have you heard Van Gundy talk about lately? We play the clips here, it seems like every day, of Van Gundy looking for answers, being out of answers. That looks really bad for a coach. And if you're looking for somebody to blame, a lot of time the blame falls on that person who's looking for answers. So the Pistons are going to keep Van Gundy. He's got this protection, which means he gets to set the terms of how the Pistons go from here. And yeah, we'll for sure get into longer term, but it means in the most direct sense, he gets to pick where the Pistons go from here right now. Where the Pistons are right now after losing to the Bucks over the weekend, they're two games and three teams out of playoff position with five to go. But they pretty much have no tiebreakers. They have a tough remaining schedule. It's going to be almost impossible for the Pistons to make the playoffs. So that leads to the question we come to way too often around here this time of year. Should the Pistons tank? And I am very firmly, 100% totally right now in the no camp. No, the Pistons shouldn't tank. If you've been reading me for a while, if you read me back on Piston Powered, you know some of those down years. After all those conference final years, after the year with Allen Iverson, when the Pistons were down in the dumps, and they were clearly out of playoff position by this point in the year. Yeah, I was for tanking. I advocated tanking stronger than most. But this is not the same scenario. The Pistons are still in the playoff race. How whatever faint chance, and it's very, very faint, 538 has as less than 1%. Stan Van Gundy compared it to being down 10 points with 6 minutes left, which I think way oversells the Pistons' chances. I think it's much bleaker than that. But there is a chance. The Pistons are still there. And so, no, this is not the time to tank. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Catching up those two games, it's going to require the Pistons pretty much to win out, I think. Their odds shoot way down, even if they lose just one. But to win out, probably. And then you still need help. You need at least two of the Bulls, Heat, Pacers, and Hornets to stumble. The Pistons don't have many tiebreakers. They have some advantage over Charlotte. You get into some multi-team things. Things go differently. But it all bodes very, very poorly for the Pistons. But the upside is reasonably high. This is something I think gets lost in the tanking discussion. The Pistons are the 11th worst team by record in the league right now. They could get to 10th. They could get to 10th, but that's not going to be easy either. The Pistons are two games, quote-unquote, behind the Pelicans in the lottery standings. But two games is a lot to make up, just like it's a lot to make up for the playoffs. The difference is you're only trying to catch one team here. With the playoffs, you've got to jump two teams. So yeah, the Pistons have a better chance of getting the number 10 seed in the lottery as opposed to the number 11 than making the playoffs. But that's not enough. That is not on itself a good argument for tanking, and here's why. Being the 10 seed in the lottery is better than being in the 11th seed in the lottery, but it's not that big of a deal. It doesn't make that much of a difference. Being in the playoffs and not being in the playoffs makes a huge difference. There is a huge difference there. Playing in the playoffs is good. It's fun. It's part of the goal. It's something teams should strive for. If you can't get there, okay. If you've been there a lot often and not advanced and want to do something different, okay. But that is a reasonable goal for this Pistons team. The Pistons haven't won a playoff game, and we're closing in on a decade. Last time they made the playoffs was 2009. They got swept by the Cavaliers, and that was until last year, also swept by the Cavaliers. No playoff appearances between that. Before that, all those conference finals runs. 2008 was the last time the Pistons won a playoff game. Getting to the playoffs and trying to win a playoff game is a reasonable goal for this team. The Pistons were the youngest team in the playoffs last year. Getting back there would be good. Even if the odds are low, trying to do that is the right thing right now. The Pistons have come too far in this direction. They can't just turn back. So I'm all for the team trying to win now. I think that would be good for the long term. And the Pistons can always reverse course later. If they get eliminated from the playoff chase, they can always reverse course. It's probably too late to reverse course until they're officially eliminated. It's so late in the season, and none of this is probably going to matter anyway. But there's still time. The Pistons' next few games are very hard. Try to win, try to lose. They're probably going to lose these. They have the Raptors on Wednesday, then they visit the Rockets, visit the Grizzlies, have the Wizards at home, and then their final game is at the Magic. The one at the Magic, maybe that's the only one where the Pistons are in real quote-unquote danger of winning it, but they can figure that game out as it comes. They could go to their rookies if they get eliminated. The Pelicans, the team they're trying to catch, you know, the Pelicans schedule, when are the Pelicans gonna win two games? Unless the Pelicans win two games, the Pistons could lose out and it won't matter. The Pistons aren't catching anybody else for lottery position. All these teams know what's up, and most of them are already eliminated. The Pelicans have the Nuggets twice, the Warriors, then they have the Lakers. They can win that. Then they have the Trailblazers on the last day of the season, depending on where the playoff standings are. You know, maybe neither team cares about that game, then anybody could win. But they are not likely to win two more games. The Nuggets are still in the thick of the playoff race. They're trying to make the playoffs. They're better than the Pelicans. Denver is probably winning both of those games. Not that the Pelicans can't win. They do have a coach, Elvin Gentry, who's trying to win, trying to show that he can integrate Anthony Davis into Marcus Cousins and keep his job for next year. The Pelicans owe their draft pick probably to the Kings. It's top three protected this year. So they don't really have the incentive to lose to tank the rest of the season like the Pistons do. The Pistons do have that incentive, by the way. Let's not dance around that. There are advantages to the Pistons losing out. I just don't think they come close to the upside to the payoff of winning out and making the playoffs. And that's the other risk, too. You win out, you might not necessarily make the playoffs. But you lose out, I don't think your odds are that good of improving your lottery position. So it's a tough spot. The Pistons are not in a good spot. There's no way around it. But I do think trying to win out is the best way for now. There's always a chance to reverse course once the Pistons are officially eliminated. Stan Van Gundy sounded open to that, but they're not there yet. Right now, trying to win out is the right move. Okay, last thing I want to get to. We talked about this on Friday. KCP arrested for on suspicion of drunk driving. He said, as we're getting some more information to come out, he had two drinks, two glasses of Hennessy, and he didn't drink more because he knew he had to drive. He had those two drinks and then drank water, he said. TMZ has video, dash cam video up. At one point, it sounds like he calls himself a lightweight, though the audio is not great there. And these are all extenuating circumstances. These are all things that matter. It also matters that he failed the field sobriety test. There are degrees of driving drunk. It's one thing to to have too much to drink unknowingly, thinking you're okay, trying to take the effort, take the steps to make sure you're okay to drive. It's another to get behind the wheel when you obviously should not be driving. Neither is great, but there are obviously different degrees here. Another piece of extenuating circumstances for KCP I found interesting in this video. Reportedly, one of the things that led to him being arrested, he failed one of the tests where you have to walk one foot in front of the other. And I don't know how clearly if at all this is shown on the video. That's just in the reporting of it. But in the video, KCP's talking about, you know, this is 3 a.m. or so. It's cold. He doesn't look like he's dressed to be outside. He was in his car. He was inside somewhere else before that. He looks cold. He talks about how he's from Georgia. He's kind of shivering. So, like, when you're in those circumstances, how steadily can you concentrate? How steadily can you walk a straight line, regardless of how much you've had to drink? There are also issues with the test, with the sobriety test where you blow into it, which he does, the breathalyzer. Those are sometimes unreliable. So this is not necessarily a cut and dry thing. There could be some more extenuating circumstances to this where this is not necessarily as bad as it looked initially. And it didn't even look that bad in the scope of this. Drunk driving is bad, but in the scope of drunk driving, this didn't necessarily look like the worst violation. Now, as we get more details, it looks like maybe there are even more extenuating circumstances. Stan Van Gundy is standing firmly behind KCP, so he doesn't need to apologize to the team, called KCP a high-character guy. And I agree with both those things best I can tell. I don't know KCP personally. I'm not going to be one to vouch for his character. But best I can tell, he's high character. That's a limited perspective, but best I can tell, he's high character. And then, apologizing to the team. I don't always understand this. Let's just say KCP drove drunk. You know, he has not been found guilty or anything, but let's just say he drove drunk. Apologize to the team. Like, he did something wrong in that case, but I don't think that necessarily demands an apology to the team, to address the team. You know, he's not a team leader. He's not setting the example for everybody. I don't get that. So I'm with Stan Van Gundy, standing behind KCP on this. And I don't think this is going to affect KCP's free agency in a meaningful way. I think he's still a max player, give or take, and probably more likely he's going to be taking all that money. He probably could have gotten more than the max if the max didn't exist, at least for him, if it existed for everybody else. If it didn't exist at all, money would be allocated completely differently. You'd have a lot more money tied up to the biggest stars. But if there were no max for him, he could probably command more in the open market. So even if this bumps him down a little bit, he's still at that max level. I don't see this having a big effect on his free agency, especially with his incumbent team, the team with the matching rights, standing behind him, not making a big deal about this, not pulling him from the lineup. If he does end up pleading guilty or being found guilty to drunk driving, the NBA will likely suspend him the first couple games next season. That would be a loss, but if you're talking about over a 4-year, 5-year contract, I can't see that changing the dollar amount. But we will keep an eye on if more details come out and all of this, and if it affects his free agency and everything going on with his free agency, and we'll see whether the Pistons can make this late push for the playoffs. We'll be around all week, even if the Pistons' playoff chances are not. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.